What is up, everyone? Chris Manning here from the Lockdown Cavs podcast with my co-host, Evan Damerl, who is in Chicago after having just attended the NBA lottery. Today's show is all about said lottery, and the Cavs are now picking 14, segment one. What we thought of the lottery, how it kind of shook out for Cleveland and overall, segment two, and segment three, some names to watch and some things to consider as we get closer and closer to the draft. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, the music you heard on the way in, at least in audio form, is from our friends at Astro Radio. Check them out on Apple Music or Spotify. I'm Chris Manning, covering the cast for places like SB Nation, Through the Sword, and Dime on Uproxx. My co-pilot, Evan Damerl, who's, and I will say, a nice-looking hotel room in the Windy City, covers the whole Cleveland sports scene at Facebook's.
It's one of the nicest hotels I've ever stayed in, so I'll put it like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, at Facebook's right down Euclid. Evan, let's talk about the lottery. So the Cavs are at 14. This is as expected. We've talked about this a little bit, but let's put a pin on it, and then we'll talk about how the lottery order fell kind of overall. What do you make of the Cavs at 14 and how we're going to think about this? Like, what is sort of your view on picking at 14 in this draft?
I don't think it's a terrible thing if you're Cleveland, in all honesty, just because of how the lottery is stacked. Shouts to my brother, Ryan Damerl, who just graduated from the University of Toledo, just giving him a shout-out for any prospective employers out there. But my brother said it should be 100% random, and he said, and I quote, "Fuck those bad teams. It's their fault they're bad. The Cavs should be rewarded for having a good season."
You sent him the wheel from Mike Zarin? I think you should send him this and see what he thinks of it.
I don't think my brother's not in the weeds that much with basketball. He mostly follows it because we do this 5 days a week, and it's my wheelhouse for work. And if he had to pick a team, I think he's more of like a Pistons fan, just because Toledo's so close to Detroit and tickets are so cheap. They go to games so often, but either way, I wasn't too, like, I fired back saying, like, the Cavs had a 97.6% chance of picking at this spot. They had a 0.5% chance of picking first overall, and they had, like, pretty similar odds 1-4 at that point. We told folks on Monday's show, because we were, I guess, Tuesday's show, either way, you would know pretty quickly where Cleveland was picking. If they didn't get their name called at 14, they jumped right into the top four. It turned out not to be the case, with the Kings being the only real riser in this year's draft. And it is what it is. The odds just weren't in the Cavs' favor. Maybe next year they'll finally get some draft lottery luck if they are in the draft lottery, or they swing for a huge trade and get a lottery pick. But alas, it's just not the case this year. And it's not the end of the world. We'll sink our teeth into some prospects that we have our eyes on, maybe some names we might have heard linked to the Cavs, et cetera, et cetera. But for now, I'm not too upset. I'm not too surprised. I didn't really bat an eye when I saw Cleveland's card get lifted at the podium at 14. I'm just like, all right, Charlotte's next, isn't it? And then it was Charlotte.
Yeah, I think the way to look at this is you think of what 14 is going to offer. I think you're going to have a lot of different options and ways you could go with this pick. You know, I mean, like, I'm to pull up like the Gavoni mock from ESPN, and I'll be curious to see what the, like, our friends at Lockdown NBA Draft Big Board have to say about this as well. Like, you know, there are some interesting names that go before 14. So, like, Benedict Mathurin is at 11 in this mock. Johnny Davis is at 10. Dyson Daniels is at 9. The Cavs in this mock go with Malachi Branham from Ohio State, who we've talked about on the show a little bit. That's also a friend of the program. Ricky O'Donnell has the Cavs taking in his first mock over at SB Nation. You know,
I believe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Kevin O'Connor has them taking Dyson Daniels, just to throw that name out there, too.
So, like, Daniels is another name that I think makes some sense. You know, Obagi is going to go in this range. Tari Eason's going to go in this range. Jeremy Sochan is at 18 in the Gavoni mock. Like, Nikola Jovic. Like, yeah, go ahead.
The combines this week as well. Players are going to rise, fall. It's a lot of speculation. The draft itself is June 23rd. A lot of things can change between now and then, too. But for now, the Cavs are picking 14. Like Chris said, there is a lot of players that could be available for Cleveland when it is their turn to pick. And if it even is Cleveland picking, they could have a trade laid out by
Well, and
too.
If you're thinking about this from, like, what your take on what they need, what they could do, like, this is choose-your-own-adventure territory, right? Like, the top of the draft is a little more solidified. Like, we don't know exactly the order, right? We don't know exactly how, like, 1 through 5 is going to go or whatever. Like, Shaden Sharp could throw a wrench into this. Like, you know, we'll see where Keegan Murray goes. All of that stuff. We'll see who even goes number one. 14 is, like...
Orlando is really interesting at one. Like, they could go... They're a choose-your-own-adventure there.
But, like,
well,
specifically, I think at 14, it's where it starts, like, branching off into, like, a bunch of different spots. And, like, we'll see where that goes. We'll talk about some...
Chris is doing the Doctor Strange and Infinity War where his head's like this, tweaking out.
My brain's
out.
Always like that. But, Evan, we'll get... In segment two, segment three... We'll talk about some names, but I wanna ask you, who would you if you had one, who would you take at one if you're Orlando?
Oh gosh,
I might go Chet. I'm kind of in on Chet, and I kind of feel like he feels like a Weltman guy, but like Jabari Smith makes a ton of sense too. I think it's one of those two guys.
I think it's Jabari Smith or Paolo Banchero, just because you have Wendell Carter Jr., you have Mo Bamba. I think I just like Jabari Smith's upside and his more NBA ready package. And I think if you're trying to just kind of dig yourself out of the trench, if you get one of the more safer commodities, because like I like Chet, but he needs more time to season. And he makes a hell of a lot more sense in Houston or somewhere else if you give him the opportunity to kind of grow and develop.
I am sort of happy for Mike Brown that he's going to get a top four pick though.
Yeah, it's going to be funny when they draft a point guard or they get like the Nick Stauskas of this draft.
Don't wish that upon Mike Brown.
I don't wish that upon Mr. Potato Head. Don't worry.
Look, Mike Brown just...
Mike Brown is by all accounts a great guy. Like, dresses to the nines, big man on campus whenever he's back in Cleveland.
Well, he got like brought back after the owner called it like a mistake. And then it was like, by the way, LeBron, maybe he's coming back. We're going to fire you again. Weird stuff.
Well, according to Return of the... It's all messy. It's just messy. I think David Blatt expressing interest in the Cleveland job, too, really juiced Dan Gilbert's wheels a little bit there.
Doesn't make it better.
Speaking of nostalgia, real quick, just to wrap this up, it was nice to see Anderson Varejao just kind of hanging out and doing Cavs stuff again. It again, threw me for a loop when they mentioned his time with the Cavaliers and it listed, like, his original tenure. Then just, like, a quick 2021 after that because I forgot, you know... all many moons ago that he did play for Cleveland for that weird like retirement contract.
Yeah, just like the jersey sale push. So that was fun. Okay, after the break, let's talk about some names. I think we'll start with Malachi Branham. But Evan, first you're going to tell everyone about our friends at Prize Picks.
You're absolutely correct, my co-host Chris Manning. All right, NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and we know you'll love it too. With 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app in both the App Store and Google Play Store. Prize Picks offers a variety of options, and they offer any prop you can think of from points scored to rebounds, even steals. Prize Picks also allows mixed sports entries. And by that, they don't offer just the NBA. They have options on college hoops, college football, NFL, MLB soccer, MMA, and more. For a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. Users who sign up now can get $50 for free if a player in their first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. But you must use the code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today and use code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Chris, bouncing it back to you with our other sponsor.
Yeah. Also want to shout out our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is helping you stick to your New Year's resolutions this year, and they're helping you eat right. They have so many great flavors. Mint brownie, coconut, the new birthday cake puffs, the brownie puffs are back. They're all covered in 100% real chocolate, and you can't beat the macros. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. I mean, that's just absolutely banging in a protein bar, and they taste really good too. They put taste first. They make them all taste delicious, and then they figure out how to make them healthy, and I really don't know how, but they pull it off every single time. So right now, you can go to build.com. You can use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code to save 15% at build.com on great flavors like mint brownie, coconut, White Chocolate Cookies and Cream, the birthday cake puffs, and a whole bunch more is locked15 at built.com. All right.
Hey, Chris.
What?
That's great. Those are great ad reads.
Thank you. You know what else is great? The Locked On NBA Big Board show. Go check that out right now. Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and the author of the NBA Big Board newsletter, Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin are giving you an in-depth look into the NBA Draft, mock draft, player rankings, and, of course, their big boards. This is free and available wherever you get your Locked On Cavs podcast right now, including YouTube. All right, Evan, let's talk some names. I think there's a lot of names we will have some of our friends from NBA Draft Big Board coming through to talk through again. There's some we have already talked about. I did an episode with Richard on Johnny Davis and some other guys. But let's just start with Branham, because I think he is a guy that if we – just because we've seen him mock to Cleveland at two spots, he is an interesting guy in the sense that, like, I want to see – what he could sort of evolve to. I think there's some questions about, like, does he become like a good 3-point shooter and some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of the pick to me that if you're picking at 14 here, and obviously not to the extent of like, hey, you're going to pick at 2 and you could swing for the fences a little bit more. This feels like a talent play in as much as it does maybe some of the other options you might have here.
No, I agree. I know the Cavs have some interest in both Branham and EJ Liddell. They've been spotted at least their scouts have been spotted at quite a few Ohio State Hoops games this year, and understandably so. Ohio State's like one of the top programs from last season, and also it's kind of convenient with Columbus being not too far from Cleveland in general. But Branham does intrigue me a little bit because he has some interesting upside. It's just, is he redundant with Caris LeVert on the floor? Because you need to make sure he has sustainable 3-point success in order to regularly contribute for this Cavs roster. Like, I understand the upside. I understand the intrigue because he's a hard-nosed guard who has some good scoring ability on the inside. He's really athletic and shows some playmaking chops and some defensive ability as well. And it's an interesting package, but if you're the Cavs, does this make Caris LeVert more expendable? Do you try and make a move with him, or does that change your thinking at all? Because obviously, Vert's not like a guaranteed thing long term here at the Cavs. Maybe you get a cheaper, cost controlled option that you can just kind of manage for the next few years and then move on from him. But it's a lot of variables, a lot of factors. But like, Branham makes sense for Cleveland. It's just, of maybe some of the prospects we will talk about on this episode, he is not the most NBA ready, and he might be a guy who is stashed on the bench for the majority of his first season so he can season and kind of just grow into his form.
I think that's an interesting way to frame it, because I would wonder, the question I think you would have with Branham is like, is not just relating to LeVert, but also like, do you think he's like a guy that's going to play rotation minutes from day one? That's like sort of the thrust of me. It's like, do the Cavs, with whether it's him, whether it's like Abaji, whether it's like Johnny David, whoever it ends up being at 14, is this a guy that the Cavs are looking to pick someone that can play right away? Does that factor into their calculus at all? Or is it someone like Branham where it's like, hey, maybe he comes in, he gets a little time to season, maybe there's even some G League stuff in there. I don't think that's ever like a bad thing. I know there can be some bad rap with that, but like, I think that would be a positive thing to some degree. Nah.
I think the stigma's going away, but yeah, there is some,
I think there are some of this where it's like, I would want to see how they kind of view this guy. And if like they view him as a contributor day one, then maybe it gives you some room to do some other things with the roster in the summer. Let's move on to another name
As a caveat, yeah. Guys who have been picked fourth in recent years.
I mean, 14th.
Moses Moody, 14th, sorry, in recent years. Moses Moody, Aaron Nesmith. And then you have even Romeo Langford. Like, those guys took time to grow and develop, and maybe you take that upside play. And I think Branham kind of could be in the same vein as those guys, where you're banking on his long-term potential, and you try to find him minutes when you can, but you don't really fully expect him to be part of the rotation.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Tari Eason from LSU. 21-year-old power forward, has some ability to put some pressure on defenses, was very productive in college, has a good first step, should be able to deliver the free throw line. Very versatile defender. Kind of seems like a guy that fits the body type that I think Cleveland would kind of want in terms of like a four, a guy that can guard up a little bit. And there's some other,
he's a grinder on defense. Like JB Bickerstaff would like this pick.
Well, and it's like, again, if I'm thinking about what a hole on this roster is, Easton is a guy that like could play 3-4 and not like 2-3 and can kind of slide in next to Mobley as he grows and everything. Seems like a guy that can make some sense. We'll see what the shooting looks like. That factors into this as well. But that's another name that I kind of look at here is like kind of in play. Again, the fun part about 14 is that I feel like this could go a lot of different ways. We'll see if someone slides out of the top 10, you know, like that changes this, right? Like that, there could be someone that slides in their lap that's higher on their board that they don't expect. And there's certain guys I would expect them to stay away from, like Mark David or Mark Williams doesn't make any sense for Cleveland, right? But like,
yeah,
there are guys that if they fall at the wings in that top 10, maybe they come into play. But Easton, what do you think about Easton just from a cursory point of view?
I don't dislike Easton. He kind of gives me some like Jashaun Tate, Jeremy Grant, James Johnson, like those kind of player vibes. Like you hit the nail on the head with it. He could defend threes and fours at the next level. There are concerns with just his inability to stay on the floor at times. I think he fouled out 7 or 8 times for LSU over the season because he's a little bit aggressive, a little overzealous sometimes defensively, and I think that's something you can fix and obviously something you can correct. Like you said, it's a player that maybe Cleveland is just like with their propensity to and more so desire to play bigger. He makes sense. He has a wonky 3-point shot for sure, so that's something you definitely need to iron out and kind of figure out the logistics of. But he could be like a decent rotation piece who could be the back end of your rotation who sops up like those Lamar Stevens minutes and maybe like creeps into like that 8th, 9th man spot in Cleveland's rotation just so you can bring him along slowly but also get him legitimate minutes in this rotation as well.
So let's do it live here just on the fly. What would you think of him? Who would you have higher on your personal board, Branham or Easton?
Oof. If we're just the Cavs,
yes.
I would have Branham personally just because Caris LeVert's contract is going to be a little bit more movable. I think if you take Branham, you try to move LeVert after that. Maybe you attach to one of those 2 second-round picks you have to maybe go acquire an additional first. There's going to be a team who maybe wants to take a stab at Caris LeVert or a team who maybe wants to offload salary, or you maybe sell a team on the potential of Branham and you package him with like Isaac Okoro, Lauri Markkanen to move up even higher in the first round, or maybe just go get a name that makes more sense now immediately and you would trade him for like DeJounte Murray. Like I think I'd rather take Branham because you could sell more on his potential than you can Easton. But I understand the intrigue with Easton as well. What about you?
I go Branham, but I also Easton's a guy that I haven't gotten to in my like dives yet. I've done Branham a little earlier, just haven't had a chance to get the Easton, so we'll come back to this, I'm sure. So I'm going to admit that I just like haven't filled in all my knowledge gaps here.
You could play.
Yeah. Just as a note, Easton in the mock from Ricky goes 13th. So like he's in that range as well. Yeah. And like Sochan goes on. Let's talk about Sochan actually after the break. But Evan, you're going to tell everyone first about BetOnline.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for all the betting stats and sports info you'll ever need. Find out the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoff odds and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, the playoffs, esports, and even more.
Yeah, Evan.
Chris, why don't you let some of the folks at home know some of the lines for the Eastern Conference and even the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, right now we have series odds. The Mavs are plus 180. The Warriors are minus 210. That's kind of interesting. You kind of go into some of the other NBA stuff. You can bet on DeAndre Ayton's next team, plus 100. If it's not the Phoenix Suns, plus 100 for Detroit, plus 200 for Orlando, plus 1200 for the Bulls if you're feeling a little frisky. There's a ton of great stuff you can find over at BetOnline.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to check them out, head to their website today using your mobile device, computer, whatever you want, and learn about all the trends in action. BetOnline.net, where the game starts.
All right, let's talk about Jeremy Sochan from Baylor University. See, another guy that, again, we've seen him in 2 different mocks, him mock different places. And, you know, certainly I think another guy in this frame of, you know, whether it's Eason, whether it's DJ Liddell, like you have some guys in this draft that kind of fit this front court body type that I think makes some sense for Cleveland. He is perhaps the most versatile defender in this draft. He's a good passer.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see what, you know, he's 18 years old. He's not even 19 yet as we're recording. Like this is a very young guy. it doesn't strike me as maybe like a day one lots of minutes guy, but you can kind of patch those minutes together to kind of get him time to kind of grow into what he's going to be. But Sochan is really, really interesting.
No, he really is interesting. Like, there's a baseline for long-term success, like you said. There's the fact that he's so multifaceted on defense. There's the playmaking. There is just the fact that he's an excellent on- and off-ball defender. The real intrigue with Sochan and what maybe would make him go higher in this draft, just based on combine interviews, tape studies, et cetera, is just his offensive potential. Like, he's not a good shooter at this time, but like, he has shown the potential to possibly be a plus shooter if he is given time to season and develop. And just the athleticism as well could obviously make him go higher too. But I think if you're Cleveland and he happens to be there 14, he's the pretty like easy pick for you. Like, he has the ability to defend threes and fours the next level right out of the gates. You can maybe ask him to be a multifaceted defender. Like, I know he's drawn comps to Draymond Green, which I think is a little unfair just because Green is like a Hall of Fame caliber player, but I could see the vision a little bit as well too. And if you're Cleveland, if you want a guy who's a bit of a grinder defensively, a guy who comes from like a top power program as well in Baylor, who has become a bit of a threat in the NCAA, like, it makes sense. Like, it wouldn't be a terrible pick for Cleveland. I just don't think realistically he's there, because I have gathered and I've kind of sniffed around on this a little bit, there's a lot of teams that are high on his potential and that could cause him to be like one of those draft risers.
All right, so where would you rank him in the Branham, Easton? How would you rank him against those two guys?
One.
Okay, you have him
one. Because of his multifaceted ability on defense, the playmaking, and just the fact that, like, there's potential for him to become, like, a positive as a shooter, maybe even a plus shooter. So, like, there's a lot of stuff there. And the fact that he's so freaking, like, just skilled in that big of a frame, like, really makes him an enticing player. Where do you have him?
I think one as well. The upside play is very, very tempting in terms of what this guy could offer you in a lot of ways. So I don't think we can discount that.
Well, it's not just the upside. It's like what you can get right now too with him as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. If you're Cleveland,
and he happens to fall in your lap, you could plug him in and have him play your seventh, eighth man minutes. In his rookie season.
I don't know if that's true for any guy, because I think the thing to remember is that, like, rookies being good and impactful NBA players is very rare. And the guy's ability, like, what the coach have trust them to do and not do, and for any of these guys that they might take, I think will be very interesting and telling to kind of evaluate as we see where they go. Like, does a guy they take at 14 they feel contribute? Does this a guy that they carve out a role for? Do they kind of get him in and out of rotation based on how he's playing? Like, that's a thing to watch. Evan Mobley is, like, obviously they had a great record, but a guy contributing and playing that well as a rookie is rare. And I think just assuming a guy is going to be a rotation guy, if he's, you know, a lotto pick in any way, I think it can be a little dicey. Evan, any other names you want to shout out before? I want to talk quickly about the take foul news, because I am me. And I want to, like, just sneak in, like, a minute on this at the end, because I've been thinking a lot about this since this kind of came through a little bit.
The news broke this evening.
Yeah, so I guess, is there any other name you want to shout out before we move on to that?
I like EJ Liddell a lot from Ohio State. I think he has a lower ceiling, but his overall package intrigues me. And I know, like, we talk about, like, a Grant Williams-type player makes a lot of sense for the Cavs. Liddell could have the potential to maybe not be exactly what Grant Williams is for Boston, because, again, that's a little unfair just given how Grant Williams has developed for the Celtics. But there's a framework there to maybe find something similar to that, and I think that would make a lot of sense for a team like Cleveland.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that makes sense. Maybe I would wonder to see if he ends up like at 14, if that's like where his value kind of jumps to. I think some of the other wings you could look at, like, is it Beauchamp, is it Dyson Daniels? Those guys kind of are intriguing. And
we didn't talk about Dyson Daniels, but like, the Cavs are fans of him, I know, and he would be intriguing too. But like, that's a guy you probably stash at the end of your bench and hardly play his rookie season.
Yeah, and look, is he going to be there? Like, and I want, if any of these guys in that like six to, or like post, like really once you get outside of, I think, Shaden Sharp,
it's a
let's see if one of those guys slips.
Draft outside like 5 to 6 players, depending on how Sharp ends up.
Right, but I think this top six kind of seems like it's going to be Jabari, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, Keegan Murray, Jaden Ivey, and Shane Sharp. If those are like the six in some order, right? Is there someone in that next group, you know, a AJ Griffin, a Dyson Daniels, a Johnny Davis, a Benedict Mathurin? If one of those guys slips to 14, like, I think that presents the Cavs with an interesting scenario. We'll see how this plays out. We'll see as this goes along what information comes out, who teams like, who they don't like, and what the Cavs' plan might be as we kind of suss some of this out and dig around a little bit on it. But, Evan, let's end on this take foul thing, because if they go through with this...
Your take on take fouls, buddy.
Look, take fouls are trash. I originally kind of thought that, like, maybe this was, like, a little bit too soft on take fouls. Like, I was kind of pro, like, let's go extreme. Let's go, like, 2 free throws in the ball. Like, let's put in an advantage rule and, like, and kind of really push
Chris
this.
Chris is the sicko outside Adam Silver's window going, ha, 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 yes.
Yeah.
When, like, Silver's proposing, like, the most extreme penalties for take fouls, which is, like, war crime level stuff.
You should put him in the Hague. But I think in talking to Texans and people about it, because it's what I do, I think one in the ball is, like, pretty reasonable. And I think also, like, I think it's also smart considering, like, how hard refs' jobs are and how times we see refs just kind of, like, go crazy sometimes in games and make some mistakes. I do think that not making it in, like, if this should be a pretty black and white call. Like, this shouldn't be a very complicated call to make, really. Like, it should be a pretty simple call to, like, identify a take foul. I think, like, adding an advantage would add, like, another complicating factor that maybe makes it, like, too complicated. So I'm very happy about this, and I'm very excited to see. A, I want to see what people around the G League kind of think have thought about this, because this is very similar to what the G League has done. And two, I want to see. I just think it will make basketball more fun to watch, and I'm pro basketball being more fun to watch. There we go.
I don't think that's unreasonable at all. I think take fouls really are a huge buzzkill. They're a momentum killer. And I did read what was reported on just what their plan or the proposal was. And maybe this is just like a slow introduction, and maybe it's more harsher penalties. Or maybe it's like the three-point shooting stuff where, like, they're strictly enforced at the beginning of the season and you slowly see it dwindle down. But I think take fouls are a lot more egregious than, like, three-point hunting as well. So it's a little harder to make those calls too. But I don't know. Folks, if you're listening at home, though, anywhere you find your podcast, subscribe to us on YouTube and let us know who the Cavs should take at 14. Maybe there's a player you want us to take a deep dive into. This is kind of uncharted waters, and it's going to be fun, interesting times for the Cavs from here on out. But Chris, why don't you take us home?
Yeah, we'll be back. Colin Sexton Week kicks on as we come back on tomorrow's show, so stay tuned for Sexton's outlook as a player and where we kind of think he might be going from there. That's how we're going to approach it. Until next time, I'm Chris. That's Evan. I'm on the road. Damrell. Evan, do you prefer, before you go, I literally just want you to answer this in one word, okay? Just one or the other. Do you prefer Chicago-style pizza or New York-style pizza?
New York-style, Chicago-style pizza is a pie.
Okay. Shaking your hand over Restream. Thank you very much. That's the right answer.
Especially, it's only if they use water from New York City. If not, it's not authentic New York-style pizza.
Thank you.